Interning with ARPA.
As a political science student who's interested in this type of thing, especially from a Christian perspective, I've always been told when I say I'm interested in going into politics, they always say, oh, you got to be careful as a Christian in politics. You know, don't necessarily jump into that field. Sometimes you have to compromise your faith. To me, that's always been kind of a barrier for Christians to get more involved in politics. And something that I've seen with the Christian politicians here in Ottawa is that they haven't necessarily compromised their faith.
On the feature today, a different perspective on Christian political action from someone who's just starting down that road. In the news, Senate debate is continuing on Bill C-14, the government's assisted suicide law. A delay in the debate on Cassie and Molly's law. New survey on the size of Canadian families, and ARPA's wrapped up another round of legal arguments in the Trinity Western case.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
Debate is continuing in the Senate this week on Bill C-14. That's the law that would permit doctor-assisted suicide in Canada. Last week, there were some clear signals from senators that they're not happy with the bill that came out of the House of Commons. They want doctor-assisted death to be even more readily available to Canadians than what's envisioned in the House version of the bill. Specifically, the Senate passed an amendment on Wednesday to change the criteria for eligibility from allowing assisted dying only for consenting adults in an advanced stage of irreversible decline from a serious and incurable disease, illness, or disability, and for whom a natural death is reasonably foreseeable. That was the definition in the original Bill C-14. The Senate changed that, inserting wording that says, medically assisted death should be available to clearly consenting, competent adults with grievous and irremediable medical conditions that are causing enduring suffering that they, those patients, find intolerable. The concern, of course, is that this would open up the process to those suffering from mental illness. And the day after that first amendment passed, senators rejected another one that would have provided a little bit of balance the other way by requiring approval from a provincial superior court and from an independent psychiatrist. That was rejected. Now, it's unclear exactly how this will all play out. Justice Minister Judy Wilson-Raybould is clearly unhappy with the Senate amendment. She says it undoes the government's attempt to protect the most vulnerable, those with mental illness, from being able to take their own lives. There's about another dozen Senate amendments coming, including one dealing with conscience rights for healthcare professionals. And when the bill goes back to the House from the Senate, the government can accept the amendments, accept some and reject others, or reject them all. And the bill then goes back to the Senate for more debate. Ultimately, both sides have to agree on the full package before it can become law. Newfoundland Senator George Baker's been there a long time. He told the CBC last week the whole process could take weeks or even months to get settled. In other news, there's been a delay in the next stage of debate on Bill C-225, what's commonly known as Cassie and Molly's Law. This is the one sponsored by Saskatchewan MP Kathy Wagenthal, the one that would add sanctions in the criminal code for those convicted of killing an unborn child while assaulting the mother. We Need a Law's Mike Schutten says this allows more time and opportunity to lobby for this bill.
I'm excited about the fact we now have the summer to engage people. In the summer, we can encourage a different level of engagement. This is a time when MPs are spending huge chunks of time in their riding, you know, doing the barbecue circuit, going to community events, all these kind of things. So we want to encourage our listeners to try to get out to some of these events and in a face-to-face manner, make the appeal for the support of Bill C-225. I'm excited because this allows for a different level of engagement, and that is face-to-face, which ultimately is the most powerful way of communicating.
Next round of debate isn't expected now until September. Cardis Family out with a new survey on the state of the Canadian family. Researcher Andrew Morozik says they commissioned the Nanos polling company to do the survey, and one finding stood out. Canadians on average are having 2.27 children per family. They'd like more. The average of what they'd like is closer to 3. The reason that's not happening?
There is a strong feeling amongst Canadians that they don't have enough money to support more kids. I think this reflects trends where we are told again and again how expensive it is to raise children, so that takes a toll. If you hear studies suggesting it takes hundreds of thousands of dollars to raise a child over the life course.
But is that perception accurate? Morozik says that's a question worth looking at.
If we were to try and unpack that, which we probably will do here at Curtis Family over time, we might try to get at what finances look like for families and what that actually means.
Another part of the survey also said most parents were not in favor of universal government-sponsored daycare. Instead, they said, if the government's going to spend money in this area, it should be in the form of cash payments directly to parents to enable them to make their own child care decisions. And finally, ARPA lawyer Andre Schutten was back in court last week, this time in Ontario, again arguing for Trinity Western University's right to be able to open a law school. It was the second time this month he argued the case. The first time was in BC.
Christians have a right to equal access to the public square, and law societies in Ontario and BC should not be discriminating against Christians simply because otherwise competent, educated lawyers happen to have signed on to a voluntary community covenant that says they're going to live according to a Christian lifestyle. So we made that fundamental argument in BC and in Ontario. There's a bit of differences as far as the facts of the cases go. There's a bit of a procedural problem in BC's facts, less so in the Ontario facts. But fundamentally, it's the same issue at the heart of the case.
There's a third province where this is being fought out as well. That's Nova Scotia. All of this means this could very well end up before the Supreme Court of Canada. Back in 2001, that court ruled in favor of Trinity Western in an almost identical case involving the accreditation of teachers. But Andre Schutten says there's no guarantee the High Court will stick to its own precedent.
It's been a troubling trend. They've overturned their own decisions, you know, just over the past 20 years on prostitution, on euthanasia, on, you know, the right to strike and so on. So, you know, the Trinity Western education case, which should be binding, I believe, on this case, that case was decided in 2001, which is 15 years ago. By the time it gets to the Supreme Court, 16 or 17 years ago. So what's 16 or 17 years when you're overturning law at the rate that they've been doing? It's a troubling trend. And I think it's troubling for many reasons, but perhaps most fundamentally is that law, which is supposed to be fixed and sure, is no longer fixed and sure.
Back with more after this.
Last week, the thousands of baby booties that have been crafted and gathered over the past several months were packaged and sent to all members of Parliament. This week, each MP will receive 21 pairs with a note explaining the initiative and a request to donate these to their local pregnancy center or local hospital. Please pray for receptive hearts for those receiving these packages and for mothers who are today facing an unplanned pregnancy.
And we're back on the program. On the feature this week, a bit of a change of pace. Instead of looking at policy or legal issues, the really heavy stuff that we've been doing for the past few months, today I thought it'd be interesting to get a fresh perspective on ARPA's work in Ottawa. A fresh perspective from someone who's in a unique position to bring that, Nick Souk. He's going into his fourth year as a political science student at Brock University in St. Catharines, Ontario. Last Friday, he wrapped up a six-week internship at ARPA's Ottawa office. And I wanted to get his impression of the work that was being done there. I started out by asking him how he ended up in the internship position and what kept him busy since he started in late April.
2 years ago, I contacted ARPA Canada just because I was aware that they did summer internships in the past from when I was at high school at Heritage Christian School. And ARPA always visited our school for a little bit. So I was aware of what they were doing, who ARPA was, and I was always kind of interested. I'm studying political science at Brock University, so I've always been sort of interested in the political arena as well as engaging with that from a Christian perspective. So I contacted ARPA a couple years ago asking if they would have anything available, and that summer they didn't, but they asked me to contact them this January, and I did, and it turned out that all the pieces fit together and it worked out, and they were able to have me. And so basically, in terms of my responsibilities, I've been doing a little bit of grunt work here and there, but I've been able to attend several events and several meetings and be able to reflect on those by writing articles for ARPA that have been up on the website. I was here for the God and Government Conference in my second week, and so with that I was helping a lot with the organization and just kind of being that run to and from the office type of guy, and also to be able to go to meetings with members of Parliament and to be able to join the delegates with lobbying on behalf of ARPA.
You're a young guy. You're interested in politics and in public policy. You know, this would seem to be a pretty nice fit for that kind of thing for a poli-sci student. What did you learn? I mean, were there any surprises from, you know, you had some expectations, obviously, when you walked in. Now you're done. Compare the Nick who walked in there 3 months ago to the Nick who's walking out today.
Right.
What were some of the surprises?
I've already said it to a couple people. I think I've learned more about politics in these 6 weeks than I've learned over 3 years at Brock with political science so far. That's been so far the most rewarding aspect of the internship is I actually get a view of the political world here in Ottawa and see what politicians do, how they address issues, how the committee works. And a lot of that aspect of it has been really rewarding. But as a political science student who's interested in this type of thing, especially from a Christian perspective, I've always been told when I say I'm interested in going into politics, they always say, oh, you got to be careful as a Christian in politics, you know. Don't necessarily jump into that field. Sometimes you have to compromise your faith. To me, that's always been kind of a barrier for Christians to get more involved in politics. And something that I've seen with the Christian politicians here in Ottawa is that they haven't necessarily compromised their faith. You know, they're so emotionally attached to some of these bills that they have a deepened love for their God and Christ because they're engaged with so many policies that tend to counter what his word says for them to do. So that's something that's been really real to me is the emotional attachment that Christians have to this political world and the importance of getting involved in something like that from a Christian perspective. So I think as a Christian who's interested in politics, that's definitely been my favorite part about this experience so far.
You say you learned more in a few months in the internship than you have at 3 years in a poli-sci program at Brock.
Right.
Are we talking the mechanics of how things work or are we talking about sort of the backroom politics and how things actually work, how to effectively lobby and that kind of thing?
I would say it's a little bit of both. It's easy enough to learn from a theoretical perspective the machinery of government and seeing how bills go forward, how policies are changed, the effectiveness of non-government organizations or lobbyist organizations such as ARPA. It's easy to know it from a theoretical perspective, but to visibly see that action going forward has been more beneficial for it to stick in my mind, to actually understand how it works. So I think in that essence, that's how I've learned more in these past couple months in relation to politics, as well as just even how to lobby, how to engage with your politicians, the best ways of approaching some of these issues, the best way to contact your members of parliament and what to discuss with them. Isn't necessarily anything that you would learn in a political science program. Because nowadays, I mean, especially with university-streamed education, it's all very theoretical, especially in the social sciences. You're not necessarily actively pursuing any of these interests, so you don't get a visible reference point to what it is and what it is going to do for you and what you need to know and how to be prepared for. So I think going into my final year of political science next year, I'll have a better realization of what is involved with the political world and how to approach politics.
The effectiveness of expressly Christian political lobbying, I mean, that's what ARPA does. You know, all the issues are looked at through the sort of Christian worldview lens. A lot of Christians look at it and go, you know what, I mean, I'm pro-life and I don't like Bill C-14, but these people aren't going to listen to me anyway because Parliament is a secular institution. What's your impression after spending some time there as an outsider in terms of the effect that that kind of lobbying can have on parliamentarians who may not share our worldview?
Yeah, well, especially during the God and Government Conference, it was something where, you know, you're obviously teaching regular people how to lobby, how to engage with politicians. And with the amount of delegates we brought forward and the amount of people who were actually able to sit down and talk with different parliamentarians from different parties, a kind of realization dawns on you that it is effective. These members of parliament do actually want to engage with either members of their constituency or just regular folk who have issues with some of the policies going forward. And they do often listen intently. You'll get certain members who are so polarized on their policy that they won't budge on anything. But I know even, for example, one of the delegates had such a good conversation with one of the senators that when they visited her at a committee meeting for the Senate, she particularly almost quoted one of the worries that they had in their private meeting in front of all the other senators. So when you see that, you see a direct benefit for Christian lobbyists to actually engage with members of parliament or senators. So that's something that you don't really realize until you actually go and perform some of your own lobbying efforts. And I think what ARPA has been doing is effective in terms of really changing the minds of some of these members, or at least creating a voice for Christian beliefs in our government.
So Christians can be heard.
I think so, definitely, yes.
Nick, thanks very much. We're out of time.
Yeah, thank you very much, Al. Take care.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage. Or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.